Hi, Pastor Joshua here, and I am re-recording parts of a message from August 2nd at MRC, where we began and I invited our church into the 31-day challenge called the Proverbs Challenge. And the question is, are you in? And so I want to re-record parts of this message in case anybody maybe is catching up down the line, or you want to do this Proverbs Challenge on a different time frame. And so there's a simple premise behind this. Our culture, society, nation is confused, hurting, angry, and not so wise. We could all use wisdom from God, and maybe we could share this wisdom with one another. And so I'm inviting you to join me in a journey of a daily habit that will help us gain and give godly wisdom, crucial words from God for a time of great confusion in our culture. If you turn to Proverbs, it's right there in the middle of your Bible. And the book of Proverbs has 31 chapters. And we did this in the month of August, which has 31 days. And so you can catch on with chapter a day here. We wanted to spend the next 31 days reading a chapter of Proverbs each day. Now you can pick any month and begin on, September 1st and go through September 30th and then just finish on October 1st or so on. But I want to model for you how you can walk through Proverbs and let it begin to impact and influence your life. So before I do that, I want to share the gospel first because there's a caution. If you read Proverbs without understanding the gospel, you might think that church is just telling you what you should do. But you and I don't even have the power to do what Proverbs is going to tell us to do. Only the Holy Spirit can do that in us. If you don't understand the gospel, you'll see and hear in Proverbs only wisdom that somebody else needs to live by. If you don't understand the gospel, you'll read Proverbs as a self-help guide. And by doing that, you'll do what our confused culture tells us to do. Look inside, find your inner strength to change, and you'll be crushed by the weight of that. Proverbs is not going to save us. Proverbs is going to show us that we've got a problem, every one of us, and we need to run to Jesus Christ at the cross. We'll see how we fall short, and our sin will make us run to the cross to receive forgiveness again. And then Jesus, who died and rose again, will walk us back to the Proverbs, to a way of living in the Spirit that's a blessed way of life as we follow him. We belong to Jesus. We're growing in Christ. And so I had titled this message, Seeking and Speaking God's Wisdom. So let's walk through the first couple chapters of Proverbs just to give us an example. Proverbs 1, verses 2 and 3 says, to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction for wise behavior, doing what is right and just and fair. Verse 5 then says, let the wise listen and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. Verse 7 says, the fear of the Lord, one of my favorites, right? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. And so you know what Proverbs is saying? You have to figure out whether you think it's true or not. Proverbs says, we will give an account. We will stand before God and you will answer for your life. Proverbs says the fear of the Lord is the very starting point of wisdom. Now that's not necessarily being afraid. That's fear, like reverence, awe, wonder, and worship at who God is and what he's done. Because you and I will answer for our life. I think our culture would be much less confused if we simply knew we were loved by God and that one day we will answer for our life either with Christ or without. Wisdom is a gift from the Lord. You may feel like, well, I don't know the Proverbs very well, so where would I begin? But we can start learning. Here's the seeking part of seeking God's wisdom. Chapter 2, verses 4 and 6 says, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. If you jump down to verse 10 in chapter 2, it says, for wisdom will come into your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Now I shared in the message the example of Billy Graham, and he was a witness to this. If you're young enough, under 25, you might be like, well, who's Billy Graham? If you're my age and up, you're like, oh, I know Billy Graham. Billy Graham was an evangelist who touched America and touched the world for 50 years at least. If you've ever listened to one of his messages, 30, 40, 50 times in his message, he would say, and the Bible says, and the Bible says, and the Bible says, scripture was just in him. It would pour out of him. The word of Christ was dwelling richly in him. That's how Colossians 3 describes it. Wisdom had entered his heart. Now, Billy Graham wasn't saved by memorizing scripture. He was saved by running to Jesus. When Jesus was in the world in all its confusion, he was known to say over and over again, it is written. It is written. It is written. He knew the word by heart. He lived it to combat the non-truth of his day. He lived it to combat the demonic forces of his day. He said, it is written, when he was tempted in the wilderness, and the devil couldn't make him disobey the Father. Right? When you come to Jesus, he walks you back to the scriptures and says, get these in your heart. We don't live by bread alone, but by the very word of God. And so Proverbs chapter 1 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Chapter 2 says, this wisdom will enter your heart. Chapter 3 says, you know this one, verses 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Now that literally means in all your ways, acknowledge him. In all your ways, can you let your heart acknowledge God? In all your ways, can you acknowledge God with your money, with your efforts, with your sexuality, with your hopes, with your hurts, with your successes and sorrows? We run to Jesus and we need his spirit. That's seeking God's wisdom. Now, the way I see it, there are actually three things we can ask God and always get a favorable answer if we ask authentically with honest and humble hearts. The first one, Joel 2:32, Acts 2:21, Romans 10:13 says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So we run to Jesus. The second thing, Luke 11, Jesus says, if you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? We need the Spirit. And number three, James 1 verse 5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, ask God who gives generously, and it will be given. Right now, we do this twofold story, right? We can ask God for wisdom, and then one of the ways we seek it out, and one of the ways that he will give it to us is as we search the scriptures for him. And that's Solomon's story. King David in the Old Testament grows old and dies, and his son Solomon becomes king after him. The very first thing we read in 1 Kings chapter 3 is that when Solomon comes into power, Solomon asks God for wisdom to discern between good and evil. And 1 Kings chapter 3 says it pleased the Lord. So God answers, because you didn't ask for long life or riches or destruction of your enemies, I give you a wise and discerning mind. And also what you haven't asked, riches and honor, so that none shall be like you. Well, most of Proverbs is attributed to Solomon. But if you know his life, you know he was still less than perfect, which is why we run to Jesus first to repent of our foolishness, to receive forgiveness, and to be renewed by his Holy Spirit. So why Proverbs, and why now? Why this invitation? Let me bring this home with Proverbs 4:23. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Hey, Joshua, it's a new day, right? The number one thing you need to do today, guard your heart. Above all else, guard your heart. And Proverbs turns and says this, as you guard your heart, do not let perversity come out of your mouth. Keep corrupt talk far from your mouth. And so let's turn for a moment from seeking God's wisdom to speaking God's wisdom, because that's the other half of this challenge we're inviting you into. In all your ways, can you let your mouth acknowledge God? I noticed over the last number of weeks, I was about to comment on different social media posts, and this has happened time and time again. And even so far as, had something typed out, a response or a post, my responses weren't obscene or corrupt, but there's just something in me that had me pause and stop, and then I delete it and not end up saying anything. And again, it wasn't because I was going to say anything obscene or gaslight comments on anything trash talk certain people or politicians or groups or movements or ideas, but my comments weren't necessarily edifying. And so I pulled them back, and it's not worth saying. In all your ways, let your mouth acknowledge God. Words are a big deal, right? Whether we speak them or whether we write them. Have you ever had somebody say something to you and you thought, I really wish they wouldn't have said that? Have you ever said something that you'd give anything to pull those words back? We run to the cross with our words and say, Jesus, would you forgive me? Then we can walk in the other direction in the Spirit saying, Lord, we want to start blessing with our words. And so how do we bless with our mouth? The first way is by keeping it closed. Proverbs 17:28 says, even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. Sometimes if you want to impress people, keep quiet. Oh, that's such a smart person right there. He's so wise. Silence can be a gift. There's a place for just listening. Listening to understand. Psalmist says, be still and know that I am God. All right, but we're also to proactively use our words to bless others. So Proverbs 15:1 says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Proverbs 12:18 says, the words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Proverbs 10:11 says, the mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life. And I'll stop there. We could go on. There are other Proverbs you'll find as you do this challenge. We speak, and our speaking blesses. And so I wonder if our culture might start being healed if we lived by the wisdom of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. So who wants to read Proverbs for 31 days? Would you be open to it? And here's the challenge. Read it, write it, pray it, share it. Read it, write it, pray it, share it. Read it. So for us, it was August 1st, read Proverbs 1. August 2nd, read Proverbs 2, and so on. Whatever number day of the month, read that proverb. It's 31 Proverbs. If the month you choose has 31 days, it works out perfectly. One chapter a day. You will be blessed. Some verse as you read that chapter is going to stand out to you. That's the Spirit speaking to you. Write it down. Now, why write it? When you write it, it starts getting into your heart. When you read it, it's sitting there. Somehow when you write it, it starts working its way into your heart, into your life. And so I want to encourage you, truly consider this part. Don't neglect the write the verse down. I did this at various times when I want to memorize something. I write it out again and again and again. I'm trying to hide the word in my heart. Then pray that word, pray that verse. Be honest about how you fall short, where you need grace, repenting of that so we're not inviting evil and foolishness into our lives. Ask Jesus for forgiveness. You will receive it. He's full of mercy. Ask him for the Spirit, for wisdom, and ask for boldness to share it. You might share it on Facebook or tweet it. You might find or make one of the scripture images on Instagram. You don't always have to share it. Certainly don't only have to share it on social media. You don't always have to share it in the same way or even with the same person. Follow the prompting of the Spirit. So it may be a text message. It may be a phone call, maybe to an individual, maybe to a group. Some days you might have that one person and the verse, the word, the proverb that sticks out to you is like going to be like the word fitly spoken to that one person. And the incredible thing is you never know who, you never know the kind of influence you can have by simply sharing one verse. You might phone a friend, you might text a group, as I mentioned, you might feel led to have a chat over coffee or bring it to your dinner table. Share it. It will nourish your soul. So let me tell you what I believe will happen if you do the Proverbs challenge. If you do this for 6, 7, 8 days, in that short time, you will be more helpful in the kingdom of God than 70 to 80% of people in America who call themselves Christian. Because a bunch of us are walking around apathetic, maybe afraid, definitely passive about our faith. But if we read it and write it, if we pray it and then share it, your life will not only be changed, you'll start impacting your whole network, your circles, your relationships. You'll find yourselves increasingly under the inspiration and influence of the Holy Spirit, with courage, with confidence, with Christ. And so I hope that makes sense. I wonder if you would join us in that. Read it, write it, pray it, share it. One chapter a day, one verse, each day, every day. We could all use wisdom from God. And maybe we could share that wisdom with one another. Are you in? Let me just pray. If you are in, let me offer prayer that God will move and bless us as we do this Proverbs challenge. Lord, we thank you for your word and wisdom. We thank you that your wisdom will be pleasant to our souls and good for our hearts. Help us to trust you with all our heart. Lean not on our own understanding. In all our ways, to acknowledge you, and you will direct our paths. Help us to guard our hearts Forgive us, Lord, where we fall short, and fill us with your Holy Spirit to seek and speak your wisdom as we live in your world. Jesus, we can't do any of this without you, and so it's in your name that we pray. Amen.